Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, baby.
Happy New Year.
Hello, my love. Well, Happy New Year to you. Tell me, how's your 2021
so far,
going so
far? It's going really well. Feels good. Feels good to be in 2021. I'm enjoying it. I did some on New Year's Eve with a couple of friends. And my other partner, Leah, we had some, what were they called? There are these types of leaves, bay leaves. Yeah. Bay leaves. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I kept thinking that my friend Emily was saying Baileys. She's like, you guys want to do some Baileys? And I was like, do some Baileys? But she meant do some bay leaves. And there are these little leaves. And the idea was that you write on the leaves, they're very small like this, you write things that you want to let go of from the past year. And I wrote many, many things on many, many bay leaves. And then when you're done writing it, you hold it over a candle and you burn the bay leaf. And it's really satisfying. It crackles and flickers and catches on fire really, like, really nicely. And so I burned a bunch of shit that I'm just leaving in the past. Looking at 2021, I've never really been one for doing this, but I felt like this year, 2020, was just so fucking, just so weird and so fucked that I was like, I need to do some like legit resolution type stuff, you know? So coming into 2021, I feel fucking great. I just turned 33 yesterday. Had a wonderful birthday.
Wow.
And, I'm feeling, you know, things are on the up and up. I feel good. How about you, Bride? How do you feel about 2021?
I feel good about it. New Year's Day,
and then we
January
found our
1st,
fucking
our cat came home, our missing cat.
Can I read the can I just read the text from the lady though? Because it's kind of wild. You go ahead. Keep going. I'll find this thing.
Yeah. I feel like I have been tending over the last month, I'd say, maybe less than that, 3 weeks or so, been tending just to the, mostly just to the people in my immediate circle because of the bubble that we've been sort of forced to have with COVID and everything. But what that resulted in was a really nice like holiday season. I felt like the pressure was off a little bit in some ways too. So like a more comfortable, natural, like personal self-expression of the holidays came through. So I you know, I'm not one for, I am one for resolutions. But something about the turning of this calendar year and where I'm at in my life right now feels like it doesn't matter that it's a new calendar year. The we're just moving forward. And I kind of roll my eyes a little bit when I hear people, like especially on like the radio, being like,
oh yeah, yeah.
2020 is behind us. I'm like, it's right there. There's no,
we're still in it.
It's, and it's still like very much, you know, with us anyway. But I feel like spiritually I have been really fulfilled by this more reflective holiday season, and I am feeling inspired about the future.
So, yeah. Yeah.
For the first time. Like,
I think you nailed
like
it on the head
time.
There. Feeling inspired. It feels nice. For the future. That's how I'm feeling too. And it was funny because like we were ending 2021 with the news that we lost our cat on like December, I don't know, what was the date? On December 13th. And it's 13th. Pretty cold up here in Nova Scotia. If you're not from Canada, you know, we had a couple snowstorms between the 13th and New Year's, and and so our cat, you know, because we moved and Bridie took the cat to the new place that you're living, and Vonnegut got out. He must have got spooked or something and couldn't find his way home. And so I was pretty convinced he was a goner. And then I took the, you know, Bridie, you printed off, but maybe 500 fucking posters. And put them all over the fucking, yeah.
Like 150, 200 flyers. I put up
all over
like 100 posters. I stuffed mailboxes. I did all the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
I went to the
dog
park.
And so I took that
to
poster and
there.
I put it up on Reddit and on our Halifax, which is like the subreddit for Halifax. And got a message from a lady. And then, you know, basically the lady was like, I'm pretty sure I found your cat. And so she called me. And sure enough, I went there, and she did. She found Vonnegut, and he was very scared and very cold and very hungry. And he's fine. He's doing well now. But she ended up texting us after and said, it was a very strange, because for a month I was having dreams I found a lost cat. And when I saw him last night, he was exactly where he was in the dream. I felt like I was the one that needed to find him, and I'm so happy we did. We have a guy named Ernie, who is the same age, and Alexis, who is 15. I empathize hard. I'm so relieved and happy that the new year is starting off right. So this very sweet lady found our cat and had a fucking premonition before she did, which is pretty wild. So big thank you to that woman who found our cat, Vonnegut.
Yeah, really. You were cutting out there for a bit there for me, so I'm not sure if you said this, but it's so generous. Remember when we talked with Kendra Kunov and she was talking about generosity? I've been thinking about that a lot lately and thinking about what it means to be generous. And for this person on Reddit, Brittany, to go out and purposefully look for our cat
isn't
felt
that
I was like, that's generous. That's like above and beyond and uncalled for.
So that was also a really great way to kick off the new year, because there's something that feels really good about it. Just, you know, feels good to know that there's good people out in the world. And there was a lot of bad things that happened in 2020, and highlighting a lot of bad people. So it's just nice to be reminded that there's good folks out there. There's good folks. I'm getting a bunch of this is a, I don't know what the fuck's going on, if it's my internet or yours, Brady, but there's a bunch of bullshit happening here, and I can barely hear you. So let's try to trudge right through this, because this is all sorts of fuck. And hey, if you want to see how bad the quality is of this recording, video-wise, go to patreon.com/turnmeon, and you can see how garbage one of our internets is right now. I have a feeling it's your end, Bridie, because you are not coming through very clear whatsoever. But who knows? Hey, do you want to... here's the other thing. We're not going to dilly-dally here. We're going to get right to the recording pretty quickly, because... like I said, it was my 33rd birthday yesterday, and as a birthday gift to myself from Turn Me On, we get to talk to one of my all-time favorite porn stars, someone who I looked up to, I don't know if that's the right word, I looked at a lot in my youth. I was going to say my favorite childhood porn star, but like that sounds weird. But definitely, I was definitely very young and loved this performer very much for a long time in my youth.
I don't think she likes it when you say that.
Of their work. And we get to speak to Joanna Angel later in the episode. So that's my birthday gift for me. What a fucking radical conversation and rad human and... I was so elated that we got to make that happen. And, it's like one of those things where I kind of had to pinch myself and be like, is my life real right now? This is so wild. So we're going to get to that. But before we do, this is for like the people who have been like listening through and through, like our diehard listeners. You might remember sometime in 2020, early 2020, we got listener mail from someone who had expressed how they were pretty sure that they could potentially, they had the potential to orgasm from basically like fucking their own ear hole. So like they, with Q-tips kind of jingle jangling in their ear, they could get really close to orgasming. And they wrote in to us to be like, hey, have you ever heard of this? Or have any of your listeners ever heard of this? And I remember when we read that on the email, we did have someone write in to be like, I have experienced something similar, but there wasn't many other people that wrote in. Well, we got an update from the eargasm woman. And Bridie, if you would do us the honors, I love this email.
Okay. I would love to. This title of this email is called Brain Boner Update, Ear Orgasm, from Ear Lane, which I think is a play on Guylaine. Here we go. Hello, Turn Me On podcast duo. I'm the one who wrote in about possible ear orgasms about a year ago. Thanks for reading my question on air. And especially for the next reader who wrote in about their Q-tip and bobby pin and ear scratching escapades. I too love to scritch and scratch my ear holes with various objects. But in 2020, somehow despite all of this nonsense, I quit scratching the ears so much. Well, very occasionally, I do use a Q-tip, but I could stop at any time after a shower to dry them ears out. Once they are dry, my favorite is to wet a new Q-tip and make the ear holes wet again. Sounds gross and counterproductive, but do try it out, fellow ear scratcher, to soothe your most likely extremely dry ear canals. I am writing to update you on my ear orgasm quest/journey. After mostly stopping the ear scratches, I have discovered that my ear orgasming sensation... To remind listeners, I can never quite get there, and I was writing in originally to see if there are some tips from other listeners out there. And the satisfaction of ear scratching are very different. I'm going to repeat that sentence. I have discovered that my ear orgasming sensation and the satisfaction of ear scratching are very different. Even without scratching very often, I can still get the ear edging feeling when I wiggle my jaw, mostly only in the left ear. Working from home for about a year now with daily Zoom calls has allowed me the opportunity to stare at my face a lot. To keep myself occupied and feel a tiny bit less vain, I have practiced wiggling my ears on camera. And guess what? The edging feeling happens, but only sometimes. I'm convinced it has to do with weather or humidity or some shit. Like maybe my little ear bones expand and contract depending on the weather. Or maybe it's due to the alignment of planets. LOL, I don't know. The other thing I have discovered while casually Googling about ear bones and the impact humidity has on them is that ear rumbling is a relatively rare thing. I have always been able to ear rumble on command, which apparently not everyone can do. The best I can describe is it is the sound you hear slash feel when yawning. Well, I can make my ears do whatever I want. I can make my ears do that whenever I want. It doesn't feel good or bad, but it is another clue that perhaps my ears can do neat things like orgasming. Last thing I would like to bring up is something I neglected to mention last time. I didn't mention it because I felt the first email was already a bit too nutso. This one is edging towards nutso now, but whatever. Sometimes when I scratch the outside of my labia, not in a sexy way, just in the way that you sometimes got to scratch, I feel it in my ear. It's not all the time, like not every scratch, but when I scratch in a specific area, sort of the left labia near where it fuses, LOL, with my leg, like where the underwear sits. It feels uncontrollable, like when a dog is scratched in a specific area on their back or whatever, and their foot stamps. But instead, I scratch my left labia and I sort of feel fluttering slash scratching in my left ear. LOL. I don't know. Anyway, I never thought about it, but I am actually preggo with my first baby and it's happening more often. Maybe I'm more itchy and the connection is more powerful because all the blood and the happenings down there. And I'm only mentioning it because while on my ear exploration journey, I am wondering if it's all connected. Some neurons are crossed or some shit, which maybe explains the orgasm feeling when my ear bones wiggle wiggle. So there's your update. Ear scratching is a wonderful feeling, but separate from what I am feeling, the ear edging orgasm feeling. I can sometimes feel the edging when wiggling the jaw or wiggling the ear. I can ear rumble, which I suppose is neat, and I am convinced that my vagine and ear neurons are crossed somehow due to the strange sensations when scratching my hoo-ha, which has intensified due to my production of La Bébé. All that adds up to nothing much, but I am still wondering if there are others like me out there and if they have tips for me and maybe others to continue our ear exploration adventures. If so, please write in to turn me on so they can connect us so I can get my ear fucking orgasm. Oh, no, wait. So I can get my fucking ear orgasm. Okay, thanks, friends, and have a very happy 2021. Hoping to hear some raunchy ass turn me on stories in the new year. Ear Lane.
How about that? It's very like I want to.
How about that?
There's got to be someone out there. There's got to be somebody out there who knows the like the connection between the vulva and the ear. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, have you? Yeah, have you ever like? Do you? If you scratch your vulva, have you ever?
I'm gonna ask an osteopath.
It's somewhere else.
I tried it after reading that email, and nothing. However, there is a connection between your ileocecal valve, which connects your large and small intestine, and your left shoulder. Because whenever I have tummy trouble there in my colon, which I do on occasion, I feel it in my shoulder.
Interesting. It's so fascinating. And the osteopath I wonder. Yeah. And it, like it. So I. I wonder if the, like, so the ear orgasming thing, like fingering the ear or like, you know, Q-tipping the ear, making her feel like she's coming close to orgasming. Like, is that linked to scratching the vulva and feeling it in the ear? You know, like, where's the, are those two things linked? Like, it's so fucking fascinating to me. And is that like, is that a unique thing? Like, is she just an anomaly, or is that, or, you know, or did she tap into something that like not many people know that they have the ability to tap into? It's so fucking weird and interesting.
I've never heard of ear rumbling, but I also can make my ears do the thing that they do when I yawn, which is sort of like pop.
Yeah, you're breaking up. It's going to be funny for everyone who's listening because they will hear you fine because I'm getting your recording, but I have no idea what you just said. But I did hear something about pop and ear popping, and I can pop my ear. If I like plug my nose and blow, I can kind of like pop my ear. Like I'm on an airplane or something. Yeah, I do it all the time. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Oh, don't do that.
Ah, no, I'm sure it's fine.
No, that sure can't be fine. Good.
I do have some ear problems though as of late. So maybe that has something to do with it. Yeah, when I
this is the first time hearing about this.
I tug on my earlobe, I sneeze out of my penis. Like a lot of white penis snot comes out of my, and I get a tingly feeling in my pee-pee, and it feels, and I giggle. So I don't know what's going on. I might have to go see an ENT.
I don't know if it would be an ENT. It'd be like a
ear, nose, EMP? Penis doctor. Yeah, that was good.
Oh, I'm so glad the Wi-Fi allowed that.
Let's throw to our conversation with Joanna Angel. If you are not familiar with Joanna Angel, you are missing out. Joanna Angel is a longtime adult film star, the founder of Burning Angel, to which she has sold now and is just a performer now. But not just a performer. Joanna Angel is also a writer. She's fucking funny as shit. And just an all around, bubbly, amazing,
so funny,
fun human being. we spoke to Joanna about her career as a porn star, about, her career as a writer. She has a book that is coming to you very soon, which we dive into. Again, this is like this is one of those like, oh, I feel complete moments in my life. So to Joanna Angel, thank you for wanting to come on the show, and thank you for talking to me. That was just the coolest thing. Totally fanboying out. I hope you, our listeners, love this conversation as much as I did because it was so fucking fun. And yeah, go make sure you check out her book that is coming out just like a month from now. So enjoy this conversation with Joanna Angel, and we will see you on the other side. I want to start this off with a very short story as to why I'm so excited about this podcast recording, okay?
Okay.
Let me set the stage.
Let's hear it.
The year was 2005.
Okay. Once upon a time.
Once upon a time. I was 17 years old. And
I'll
one
pretend
of,
you said 18.
I was 17.
In my world, everyone's 18. And, I don't even know.
But you know what? I did lie to someone and said that I was 18.
Okay.
And I got a job, one of my first jobs ever, at a local video store in my hometown called Excitement Video, spelled with an X.
In Los Angeles?
No, this is like small.
I guess there's more than one Excitement in the world. Yeah, I'm like, this is one down the street from me.
Very, very different. Small town.
It's a common name.
Small town in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Okay.
The lower Sackville Excitement Video, and it was a porn store. Okay. And so I went in. They thought I was 18. I was not. I lied on my resume, or I lied on my interview to get a job there. And
they should have asked for your ID.
I think when I brought my resume in, I wore a tie.
And I think it doesn't matter,
right. Joanna. If you saw Jeremy at 17, you would be like, who's this 12-year-old? Jeremy was a boy.
Also, it's Canada, and I know for everyone I know in Canada is so nice. So I bet they're like,
it was too polite. They just didn't.
People don't assume anyone would ever lie about anything. That's like only happens in America.
That's it. Yeah. So they were trustworthy.
You're the first liar in the town.
They were trustworthy of this young boy that came in and got the job. And so a part of the job was that we were offered two free rentals of DVDs a night in order to get familiar with the content. So when people came in to rent a video, we would have some knowledge of what it is that we're trying to, you know, what we're trying to sell. Okay. And so the first thing that I grabbed.
What year was this?
This was 2005. The first thing I grabbed off the shelf as an avid horror lover was Re-Penetrator.
Re-Penetrator. Yeah.
And I took it home that night, and it was to this day one of the best things I have ever watched. It is seared into my memory. And so fast forward all these years later, and so for people who don't know, Re-Penetrator was like it was a film that you had pieced together in 2004. From it was a Burning Angel production, was it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was
the first one actually was the first one.
Oh, really?
The first Burning Angel. I guess it was our first DVD or something.
Sure.
I don't know. There was a lot of firsts for that movie.
And correct me if I'm wrong, was it just the one scene? Like, it was just one
scene. Like, I mean, 20 I can minute... tell you the whole story of Re-Penetrator if you don't know the backstory of your favorite film.
God,
Do you still have that movie? Because it's rare. It's hard to get a copy, actually. I can't get a copy, so.
So you're actually going to hate to hear this. So what I did was I started a racket in my high school, and I would take these, every movie I would take home, I would burn them and then sell them at school.
The original porn pirater.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Made. Yeah,
thank you very much.
I know the
you
worst.
You helped all of us lose
just
money.
Thought.
what a shithead kid.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's good funny. Thing. Yeah, good thing I'm doing okay, or I'd be really mad at you right now.
Yeah,
that's okay.
We were just talking about how shithead kids are because we recently lost our cat, and we went out and put posters around the neighborhood today, which is yesterday and the day before, and we put them up right outside this. I was like, let's put one outside the school because the kids they'll look for a cat, and so we pull up and I put a. Jeremy won't even pull up to the pole. He's like, he pulls up and makes me, I have to walk to the pole. There's a bunch of like junior high kids streaming out of the school. And I staple gun my missing cat poster to the pole. And as I get back in the car, they like scramble over to the pole and they're looking at it. And I was like, I'm going to roll down my window and say, thank you. And then I got a fucking prank call like 20 minutes ago.
Oh my God. People still prank call?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was like a thing of like my generation. Yeah. Like I can't, I, you know, I'm really sorry about that story. I actually did lose my dog before for like 2 days, and somebody did find him from a sign.
Oh my gosh.
My, duty in life to find somebody else's animal from a sign. So every time I see one, I take a photo of it and I actually like actively go out looking for it. And I still have yet to return that karma back into the world, but they do work. And I paid for, you know, cause you know, when you lose your animal, you start looking for help and then all people want is like money, you know, like you find all these scams, like we will find your pet, like random websites. I like paid so much money to so many websites that said they were going to like do all sorts of things they didn't do just because I felt vulnerable. And the old fashioned sign did work. It did.
I appreciate that so much because I have made, you know, I've made so many new friends on the internet sharing my Facebook post. Like I'm like 100 people shared this. No one. I don't I, like it's no, just it's crazy the way that those
you find your cat.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Don't cats fingers walk crossed. Away, don't they?
They
and
do,
then they
yeah.
come back. I've heard they that's wander. Like really common. Yeah. They get bored, like they like wander. They look
little
for other relationships.
Little adventures. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they gather friends.
Grass is always
cats
greener.
Cheating on you.
That's I know.
Right. Cheating on you. I'm sorry.
He's a little slut.
But, I don't want to be the one to tell you, but they're enjoying themselves in another home right now.
Yeah, that's it.
But Repenetrator.
Oh, yes, right. So,
so you,
I mean,
so you pirated my movie.
I pirated
your
movie.
I worked hard on and spent my own money on. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So lots of people, but you helped spread the word.
I did help spread the word, and I made the life of a many young high school boys in Sackville, Nova Scotia. But the thing 18
that 18-year-old high school. Boys.
That's right. That's
they
right. 18, 18 all legal age 18-year-old boys.
That's all I need to know.
but I want to say that the thing that I loved so much about it, so if people aren't aware, Reanimator, which is like a really fucking iconic like body horror movie, H.P. Lovecraft film from the 1980s, it was a remake of that. And like it was you know, it was hilarious and super grotesque. And like there's like, you know, like radioactive green lube. And there was lots of blood. And It was one of the, like the fucking coolest things I had ever seen, because I'd never, to me, like at that time in my life, porn was just, I think like Pirates had just come out too. So I was like,
no,
I was
Pirates
just thinking,
came out way later than that.
Oh, was it later?
It was
okay,
in
okay.
that, I mean, like a few years later, but
sure,
yeah, I guess it was in that very polished time in porn.
I think,
you know, where
it was
like Vivid Video was like the main thing with the big tan, you know. Also, most porn at that time was made in Los Angeles, you know, in the same kind of swimming pool mansion area.
Where was Repenetrator made?
In New York.
Oh, sweet.
Actually,
cool.
That one was actually made in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Sweet. Yeah, I guess it was like the alt porn kind of thing that stuck out, that really sort of stuck out to me, where I was like, oh, whoa, this is really... Anyway, I just want to say that you are, Joanna, you're one of my sexual idols. You
well,
are,
thank you.
And so this is a pure honor to have you on the show.
Thank
and
you
so,
very much.
Having said that, I want to know who is or who was for you your sexual idol?
Huh, that's an interesting question. I guess... I didn't watch porn really growing up at all. I mean, I didn't watch a porn until literally I started Burning Angel. I never watched any porn. However, a person who was very inspirational to me that I'm not sure if you knew her or not. I remember I went to go see her speak at a college, you know, when I was younger, was Tristan Taramino. She is a writer. She has directed some amazing porno movies from back in the day. And she's written, you know, a lot of great books. And she's actually a friend of mine to this day. She was not my friend when I first met her. I guess I met her as somewhat of a fan. I always looked up to her because she was very, you know, she had a very funny, very open-minded, very kind of lighthearted approach to very... Very filthy things and sex, you know. She wrote a book a long time ago called The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Women, and that book kind of changed my life. And at that time, no one talked about anal sex. I didn't even know. I mean, it's so hard when I talk about me and sex when I was younger. I feel I feel like people don't even believe me because younger people now are so sexually advanced, you know? I didn't even know anal sex was an option until I was like 23. Like, I didn't even know anyone did that, you know? No one talked about it. It was not like a thing, you know? So after I read that book, and then she was just like a very sexually open-minded person. She was also from New York, and she was also like an educated, like, feminist. So I really did look up to her. But I don't know, I had to really find myself, sexually. I was very shy, you know? And sometimes I still am to this day.
one of the things that we ask a lot on the show to our guests is what's your sexual origin story? Like, what for you, we're trying to like steer away from the word, you know, how did you lose your virginity, but instead say, what did your sexual debut look like?
You mean on film?
No, like for you as a sexual being, like Joanna as a human, like what did your sexual debut look like?
You know, I grew up really like never talking about sex, never addressing it, never talking about it with my friends, definitely not talking about it with my family. So it was always kind of this like mystery, you know? I do remember when I was younger getting aroused to hair metal videos on MTV. I wasn't really sure what to do with that feeling, but I would just like sit in my room and like watch them and masturbate. Totally. So it was probably the earliest times.
I've never heard that before.
It's, really? I like it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I figured everyone did that. I mean, they were like music videos in like the early 90s were so
steamy.
Sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that video? There was one that I masturbated to several times. It was the... Black and White on the beach. It's like one guy singing and like there's a woman. There's a woman who's like, she's topless the whole time. There's lots of side boob.
Ooh, good.
And they're kind of playing on the beach. What is that? It's like an iconic song. Oh fuck. I can't it's going to kill me.
It sounds really romantic. I wasn't really into like romance.
It was only the visuals. It was purely visual for me. Yeah. Definitely wasn't but definitely a romantic song for sure. Yeah.
I actually remember, I mean, this really like says a lot about me and how it turned out, but I remember having like a babysitter when I was really young and she was like, you know, this was like the 80s or the early 90s, you know, so I don't know. She had the big hair and everything like that. And I remember she would actually turn on MTV while she was babysitting me, which is probably not allowed, but I'm really glad she did. And I remember watching that, like, there was like a Motley Crue live video. I specifically remember seeing in the audience, they showed a image of a girl flashing her boobs, you know, and then there was like,
right,
like a, you know, whatever, sensors on top of the boobs. And I remember asking my babysitter, why did she take her clothes off for the people in the band? She was like, that's what girls do. They try to show them their bodies so after the show they can have sex with them. And I was like, have you done that? And she was like, yeah, I have.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Totally like idolizing it. That's hilarious.
So of course, you fast forward, I lost my virginity to a band guy.
And right.
Basically stuck to them ever since.
Yeah, you still like guys in bands?
My husband is a musician. I've said it to my husband's face. Every time I've gone away from it, there's been times in my life where I'm like, I need to date someone normal, you know, someone who like has a 9-to-5 job or like, you know, whatever. And every time I've tried, I just go back to musicians. I've said it's like an addiction. But I mean, he's my husband. Like, I love him. He's not going anywhere. But I yell at him sometimes. Every time he plays music and I get turned on, I get angry. It's a weakness of mine. I don't like having any weaknesses. I suppose that was my first sexual awakening or something, being like, but, and it was not just, and you know, first of all, it was not just the guys in the video, it was the girls in the video too. And they're like, you know, it was like their confidence in their sexuality, you know, the girls in the short leopard dresses and their big tits, and they just kind of, you know, and the way they looked at everyone. So, and also the men in the bands looked like women too. So I think there was just like multiple things going on.
Yeah. It's so true, because I didn't talk with my friends about sex or my parents. I grew up in a small town.
Yeah, it was a different time, you know? That wasn't normal when we were... I mean, I don't know how old you are, but...
I'm 36, 37, but I feel like the shapes of men and women's bodies at that age, where things are still really like a mystery, no one's talking to you about it. It's like you're more likely to be attracted to just like sexuality. It's exuded by whatever gender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are really open-minded now, like younger people, you know. Mm-hmm. We didn't have all the things that they have access to. We had to like wait till we were 18 years old. Or I guess in your case, you lied at age of 17. I'm going to look the other way on that. But it was very common when you were 18 to go buy like a porn magazine. I feel like I'm talking about the Stone Age. Like, I can't believe this was just when I was younger. Like, I'm talking about a horse and buggy, you know, like going to a store at age 18 and buying a magazine. But that's what people did.
I mean, there's probably someone listening to this right now who hears that and thinks like, what the fuck?
Is she 90?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, how old is this woman?
Yeah. So like for someone who did come up as like, you know, who didn't talk about sex much with friends, family, peers, what, you know, and I'm sure you've been asked this a million times before, but like, what was the catalyst for you to decide to start your own porn production company? Because like, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you have a career as an adult film, a performer, and then get into production? Or was that like the production was the first thing that you did, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did that come to be?
When I was in college, first of all, in my senior year of college, I did start to kind of get into a lot of like nerdy, like sex education stuff. I think because I wasn't having a lot of sex, I really liked knowing about it and reading about it or something. It was like my own way of, I don't know. And I also really liked writing about it. I took an internship at this, it was like a super progressive, like kind of feminist-ish, like online magazine my senior year in college. And I don't know, it just kind of like inspired me. You know, there was a lot of authors were writing like erotica as part of the magazine. They were actually one of the first websites to have like a dating columns and stuff, you know, and that was where they kind of made their money. But I worked as an intern on the literary side. Anyway, I just was kind of involved in a lot of things where it was like, oh, look, you can like learn and talk about sex in this sort of like, I don't know, sophisticated environment or something where there's like humor behind it. And, you know, I was looking at a lot of like artistic, whatever, you know, photography, stuff like that. Anyway, I don't know. So while I was doing that, I was also like in my like creative writing class, like writing a lot of like erotica and stuff, and it was actually very awkward in class, but it just seemed to be what I was doing. And then my roommate in college, who was a, you know, a dude that liked porn a lot, he asked me if I wanted to start a porn site with him, and I was just like, yeah, I think, you know, because I would come home from my internship and like talk about it with all my roommates, like, you know, like You're like, hey guys, look at what we did today. Like, I learned about this photographer and I did, I don't know. And then,
like I that, that idea
of really I'm, just how it started. I knew nothing about the porn industry at all.
At that time, at that period of time, like with that question or that notion of like wanting to start a porn website, like was that, I feel like today that if someone who was in college or freshly out of college, like hearing that idea is like, oh yeah, well, like, you know, anyone can start a website. Like that's kind of been around forever. It's not a big, you know, just get Squarespace and like fucking whatever.
I mean, now you don't need to start a website. You just start an OnlyFans.
Yeah, exactly. What was that idea that, you know, how far out was that idea to just, for someone to just say, do you want to do this with me right now?
Like, from the first time we had the conversation until the day it actually launched, I think it was like probably 6 or 7 months. And that was like 6 or 7 months of like, first of all, we had no idea what we were doing, you know? Mm. So had we known what we were doing, maybe that process could have been sped up. But I don't think so. I mean, I even know now still, which still now feels like the Stone Age, you know, the real studios in the industry, like I, you know, when they're trying to start like a pay site, like it can take a good year of just like getting everything together, mm-hmm. or maybe 6 months, you know. And it kind of was 6 or 7 months of like every single day doing something that led towards it, you know, trial and error, thinking the right person was going to build it. And then that fell through. We also had like no money. So like trying to find like friends and friends of friends to like work on it, you know, which is a good thing to do in college because you have so many friends around with so many different skills, you know. No one should do, I mean, thinking back now, like it doesn't even feel real. Like if I would ever hold a seminar on like how to start a porn business, like, or any business, like don't do anything that I did everything wrong. I was ignorant, you know, but like my ignorance was bliss. You know what I mean? I think because I literally had no idea what I was doing and had no idea what anybody else was doing either. Mm. Burning Angel was very unique. And it was not unique like a bunch of businessmen sitting in a room like, what like new thing can we tap in on that hasn't been tapped in on? This was genuinely just what came from my brain and my heart and the resources that I had available. We were Burning Angel, and then we kind of, you know, became known as you know, doing something, I guess, kind of groundbreaking at the time. And I think that is how groundbreaking things happen, is like, because even to this day, when I am still making movies and stuff, I do always try to do that thing. Like, what can I do that hasn't been done? Like, what can I do that's like when you try too hard to do something different, you can't do something different. Like doing something different has to sort of happen organically. And that's really what Burning Angel was.
Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.
When did you realize that you actually had stumbled into something that was like going to work, you know, like that Burning Angel was not just some sort of like labor of love, but like actually something that was going to prosper and kind of explode into what it has become today.
I mean, there was, you know, the business was a business for, well, I mean, I guess it's technically still a business. I don't know if you know, I sold Burning Angel in 2018.
Okay.
I owned it, but I still work for Burning Angel. Now I get paid as I'm a hired person for Burning Angel at this point.
Right.
That happened at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. But, and then Burning Angel started in 2002. And you know, there were many, many, like, every year was very different from another year. I mean, it was a business that kind of, we built, you know, when you start a business with like really no money, like you start as something small and then you build on that and you build on that and you build on that. And then, you know, Burning Angel all over time, just kind of, we would put down a layer and then build on that layer and put down another layer. But I don't know, you know, I do remember when we first launched really in 2002, I think because for that whole like 6-7 months, I was like scrambling and trying so hard to get this idea off the ground. Somewhere in that process, it like escaped my mind that like this is porn and people are going to be freaked out by it. You know, like I was so engrossed in the like, you know, mechanics of getting this thing launched that without knowing anything about internet, like I didn't even have like I would use the school computer lab to like go on and like do things. Like I was not like an internet nerd. I was not like a porn person. Like why starting an internet porn business was a guy, you know, I was just like a creative driven person with like some inner sexuality that I wanted to like let out to the world. Like I was not qualified to do any of this. So I was so just like dead set on like, we have to get this thing launched. I'm like that with anything in my life. Once I get an idea in my brain, I'm very determined to make it happen. Like, so somewhere along the way, I forgot that this was porn or just didn't even, I didn't see that as an obstacle at all, you know? Right. Also, like, I was in a community, you know, in college, I had a lot of friends with their own record labels, friends that put out their own, you know, put on their own, like, you know, punk shows and stuff like that. So I was very involved in a community where everybody was sort of starting their own thing, you know, and I just, this was my thing. And I didn't really see it as any different from anybody else's thing. And then when it launched, it was like, no, I mean, I know what in actuality this was probably like 50 people, but that to me was my whole world. You know, like I'm when it launched, like I could not go anywhere on campus without somebody asking me about it. I had teachers pull me aside and talk to me about it. I had friends that didn't want to talk to me anymore. I had family members torn apart. I went through, and like, to me, I was like, everybody look what I did. I launched this cool thing. Check it out. Like really just like, I had so much passion for it and I was so excited about it. Like I was just, I don't know. The fact that I was naked there, like didn't even seem like it should bother anyone, you know, like, I guess, and I don't know. And then like, it felt like the world was like looking at me, and I understand that's not what was actually happening, but my world was, I was not used to being the talk of the town or the center of attention. People were angered by it. You know, I was involved in a lot of like feminist groups and stuff in college and they didn't want to talk to me anymore, you know? And that was not something I was expecting, you know? So somewhere like this was right when it launched. And then also like girls that were on the website were having a hard time dealing with like the stigma that was coming along with it. And I really thought I was doing this cool thing by giving us a place to us like to express ourselves. And I was like, what did I do? So that was when that was like just the first few days it launched. I felt like my whole world turned upside down. So I do remember at that time having a really bad, panic attack and thinking to myself, I have two choices here. I either need to take this down and move and never speak of this again, or I need to make this huge and I need to make this. Yeah. And, you know, and it was like an interesting feeling to see how much pornography affected people, whether it was good or whether it was bad. That was something very interesting to me. You know, all through college, I was a very, like, pretty big time political activist. I was also super involved in, like, you know, the punk scene. And, like, it was always our goal to, like, get a reaction out of people, whether it was through, you know, music or through activism or through, you know, whatever it was that I was doing, the people I was involved in. We kind of got excited by, like, provoking some reaction out of people. And a lot of the times we did not provoke any reaction out of anyone, you know, like, you know, I worked very hard on a lot of, like, campaigns in college, you know, with Amnesty International, all these different groups, like, trying to get people to care about very big issues that they did not care about. But you put a few naked people on the internet and everybody cares. So I did realize there was like a power in pornography that I thought was really exciting. I don't know. So that was kind of the day in my brain where I was like, I have to turn this into something. Until that actually happened was, I don't know, several years later, but I was very, very, very determined from that point on moving forward. And I never looked back, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, yeah.
I'm curious.
That's how I became a company.
How is that whole experience that you've described? Like, what, I'm just curious, having released a book, or you are soon releasing a book, what's that like? That seems like a bit of a left turn from
Well, it's not a left turn because I was an English major in college, and I've also written all of my scripts for all of my porn for the past like 20 years, so writing has always been a very big part of my life.
Yeah.
If anyone who knew me in college always knew that when I grew up I wanted to be a writer, whatever that, you know.
Right.
So all my friends from growing up were but yeah, I guess the funny thing is, if I never got into porn, would I ever have gotten a book deal? I don't really know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The book, I mean, it's called Club 42. It's coming out in paperbacks coming out in February. In February. Correct?
But actually, I was going to say, I did have another book come out of two. Where did the time go? I don't know.
Like, I know.
I was like, to me, it seems like it just came out a couple months ago, but I guess it was like 2 years ago at this point. But the first book is about a girl that works at a porn store. So you should read that book.
I definitely that could need to be, read that
yeah,
book.
Yeah. So this one is about a girl that works at a strip club. But the first one is about a porn store. So
yeah.
Both in the same choose your own adventure format. So you should really read the first one because maybe you can identify. However, all the characters are 18 in the book and in the world.
Well,
but anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to.
If it has been, you know, always cooking inside you to write a book, do you think that without the porn industry, the books you were writing would be the same? Like, you had this urge, you said, to express yourself sexually, or had this like something that wanted to express itself sexually when you put up this porn site. So do you think like that's affected the novels that you're...
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I actually, when I was in college, I used to go to like writing workshops and stuff all the time. And I actually remember here in one of the writing workshops I went to now, like 700 years ago when I was in school, I remember somebody saying something that stuck with me because I was so like, I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer. How can I be a writer after I graduate? Like, how do you get a book deal? How do you do this? Like, things I was trying to think about when I was like 20 years old, or how do you get a job? Right. I don't know. And I remember somebody saying like, don't get out of college and be a writer. It doesn't, you're too young. You haven't like learned about the world yet. And what makes you a good writer is experience, you know? So they're like, don't ever quit a job to try to be a writer, you know, mm-hmm. like use that job to like fuel your writing. I do remember somebody telling me that, and it always kind of stuck, you know, in back of me. I mean, I've experienced and learned so much in the porn industry that all, you know, fuels my writing. I mean, you can study writing in school all you want, but if you have no life experience, what are you going to do? You know, you need that to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's cool, 'cause I've learned about being, you know, with my place in the industry, I've learned about so many different sides of the industry, you know, and I have, even though it's not something I'm particularly known for, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in strip clubs. I've been a feature dancer as a porn star for a while, but actually the first few years of Burning Angel, about a year or so after the website started, before Burning Angel was able to be my full-time job, but it was still taking up a lot of my life. One of the girls that we had shot was a stripper, and she was telling me about it. And that was a time when stripping was really good. And so Burning Angel was funded, you know, our first few movies, everything was from money I made at the strip club. So I learned a lot about myself in the strip club, and you know, I spent a lot of time, in strip clubs, you know, and I've spent a lot of time, like, as I guess you call it, a house dancer when you actually work at the strip club, and a featured entertainer is when you travel and you do like a featured show at the strip club. And I've experienced, you know, both ends. You know, the whole world of exotic dancing is like a different world than the porn world. And I'm really glad that I've experienced it. 'Cause, like in porn, on a porn set, I'm dealing with everyone in the industry, but in a strip club, you're dealing with all different walks of life. You know what I mean? You get the people walking in off the street, and like the manager of the strip club is usually just like a guy from the town. He's not like an industry guy. Do you know what I mean? He's like a dude that before that probably worked at, like, you know, a sports Home equipment Depot. Store. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, so it's like, it's a super fascinating universe that exists, you know, everywhere. Mm. So I know there was just, and it, for a choose your own adventure format, there was, you know, a lot to work with there.
So Club 42, which hasn't, I don't think has come out yet.
Yeah, it comes out in February. It's available for pre-order now.
Yeah. And this, I'm thinking about like when this episode's coming out, I'm like, has it come out? It hasn't come out yet, but, soon. Coming out soon, coming to a bookstore soon.
Right.
It is, so it's choose your own adventure, which like totally I forgot how much I loved Choose Your Own Adventures. There's something about it that like, I really love video games that have a lot of replayability. And that's like, that's one of the best parts about a Choose Your Own Adventure is like, you get to replay the book, you get to replay the adventure over and over again. And you graciously sent us a copy, and I got to my first ending today.
So which ending?
I got to. Exciting. Can I say it with like?
Okay.
Without spoiling too much, I got to an ending where, the lead character in the book, basically like boots her potential new beau in the face during a lap dance.
I'm so glad you read that. Another one, great. You can see a musician. See my love and hate for musicians in that book, you know.
It's, you've said a lot of things in this, in the, you know, the 37 minutes that we've been talking. you've said a lot of things that have
wound up in that, the book.
that I've thought, oh wow, like the lead character does sound like you, like it does, the person's from New York, they're trying to like figure out what they want to do with their life. They stumble into the world of stripping.
Exactly. I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah. Loves fucking musicians. Yeah. And so like, I guess the question is like, I take it that a lot of what is in the book actually is derived from,
it's based on people, you know, it's based on things, you know, I think it would be, I mean, I would never want to be that person that just takes a fiction book and it's exactly what happened, then you just change people's names. So yeah, but everyone is based on someone I've met in some capacity over the years.
How the fuck do you write this might be too like boring of a question, but like how the fuck do you write a choose your own adventure novel?
It's so, what is, you, I mean, you need
Is there a formula to
it? You need like a map, almost like a crime scene.
Yeah.
yeah.
You need, you know, a regular novel, you need an outline, but a Choose Your Own Adventure, you need a map. And this is now my second time doing it. Mm-hmm. Both times I wrote a very clear map, and halfway through the book, threw the map in the trash, because sometimes as I'm writing, I get carried away with one thing, and then I start not following my own outline. So then I make a new outline
right
from there. But yeah, you have to make sure, like, if you get too far into a story, you have to start splitting it, you know, like I kind of know, like an alarm will go off. Like,
yeah,
like this is too many pages without options. Mm. You know, yeah. And sometimes I will just keep writing and then go back, because you can always add more options, you know. Ooh. But I think I did get a few, not a lot. Look, I take every comment I get like to heart. And like, you know, my first book, it's such a sensitive thing. I've wanted to write a book my whole life. So when I put it out there, and at first, every single critique, review, whatever, was very positive. And then, of course, came my first negative ones, which was going to happen inevitably. And some of the negative ones of the first book was that I didn't embrace the format enough. And I get it, because I was writing a novel. Yeah. I felt like I was kind of writing a book of short stories, but they interwove together. I don't know. And so I tried to really embrace the format more in this one and have like a lot of dead ends, you know, like, because I think that was something I didn't have in the first one, is where you like fail, like game over.
Well, I mean, that happened to me today, and I was like, oh fuck, it's over.
Yeah,
like
you took the wrong choice, you know. Yeah. So that was fun to do. I didn't do that in the first one, and now I regret it, because that was actually very fun to do. Take a right hand turn where you're like, nope, now she fails.
I mean, maybe I should wait to read through, but like, do you take the you know, do you use that format to your advantage by doing things like, by creating an ending that is like so outside the scope of what you might have thought possible in that world? Like,
there's a lot of very different endings.
Okay, cool. See. Sweet. Yeah. You know. Yeah, it's very fun. It's
you'll
like
see. But I'm so glad you read that, because I think that was like I was actually curious to see where somebody would go naturally. You know?
Yeah. Well, I was like, of course, lap dance.
So you started
dance.
Tomorrow.
Like, let's see the lap dance. That's what I wanted to see. Yeah.
You started stripping tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Because in my head, I'm playing the book like a fucking RPG game. I'm going, all right, she just like had an experience that she really enjoyed. Let's not overdo it. Go get some rest. Like, go get some rest. And yeah, go home.
So you really get to see her home life in that.
Yeah.
In that
Holy
one.
Fuck.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Cool. Chapter. That's very like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're really rooting for her to pick the girl.
Yeah. So what, you know, what's next for you? Like
that's a tough question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I sold my business like almost 2 years ago. And at that point, that was when everyone in my family was like, are you done now? Can we wrap this up? You know, and my family has been wonderful with me. I'm so thankful. I've actually written about it. I've been published before, where I wrote about my relationship with my mother, and she does not like my job at all, and that's fine. I don't need her to, but she loves me, and both my mom and dad have been very, very supportive. And have actually stuck up for me a lot, which was very eye-opening at first, that like my super feminist friends in the punk scene hated what I did, and my like religious mom was like, you know, you're a good person and I'm just gonna ignore this part of you, you know what I mean? It's like, my own mother could find a way to deal with this, like I don't care. And it gave me a lot of strength and confidence that like, I'm not doing anything wrong, my mom's okay with this. So why should you have a problem, random troll on the internet? Like, it gave me good confidence early on, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, I mean, my family and even myself, I was like, maybe this would be a good time to end my career, but I didn't. So here I still am. First of all, I didn't end it because I don't know. I wasn't done, you know? I really do love the porn industry. I really do. I think this is a really unique time in the porn industry. So I'm just going to kind of keep going until no one wants to jerk off to me anymore.
Right.
I keep thinking that year, I'm going to be 40, I actually remember when I was 30 saying like, I'm going to stop when I'm 35, at least being in front of the camera. And now I'm probably more in front of the camera than I ever was. Cause it's kind of a new era for performers and stuff, and actually owning my own business and being part of the day to day and all the financials and planning and budgeting and producing for 17 years. It actually feels like a vacation for me to just have sex.
Just to perform.
So it's fun, and it's, I'm not going to say easy, like I'm not saying that being a performer is easy by any stretch of the imagination, but it's relaxing for me to not have to deal with the businessy side of the business, you know?
The businessy side of the business, I would say is maybe safe to assume has like really morphed quite a bit over the last 15 years.
Oh yeah. It changed a lot.
What
I felt like I kind of walked in at the tail end of many different eras.
What are your in the era that we're in now, like how do you feel, what is your outlook on the industry now that we're like with the advent of OnlyFans and Snapchat and all these things, like what's we went through that, and we're still in, but like, the free porn sites. And now I feel like OnlyFans is like this new kind of this
crazy
new element that
I
has kind of like shifted the landscape. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
What are your outlooks on the industry for the future? Like, do you feel hopeful for the industry? Do you feel like the industry is,
well, what is the industry to you?
To me personally, I don't know. That's a good question.
It's good because I used to stress a lot as a studio owner, wondering, I saw the days numbered. I said, is there a need for studios anymore? I put all my heart and my soul and all my money and all my time and energy into growing a brand. And is there a need for brands anymore? Like it used to be very important for girls to be aligned with a studio, and it's not like that anymore. So I don't really know where studio porn is going to go or if it's necessary, what's going to happen to it. From what I can tell, I think that the same thing happened in music. There's a lot of parallels with the music industry and the porn industry.
Totally, yeah.
Do you need a record label anymore? You still kind of do, but you don't need, I think what happens is there's a need for a record label if you want to be huge, like Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, huge. There's no need for, I think all the middle ground went out. Like, I feel like there used to be so many like, middle of the road record labels for like mid-sized bands, and like now those people are just independent. So I think right now, the studios that are gonna survive are gonna be the really, really big ones, making very big budget stuff that you won't see on OnlyFans, So I think that's gonna continue to exist. I'm not sure what's going to happen, because the thing is, you can't have an OnlyFans if you don't have fans. So where are you going to get those fans from? You either have to get them from a studio, which I actually hear girls saying a lot, which is kind of funny, and I started being both a performer and a studio owner. Like, I kind of saw both sides of everything. I saw the writing on the wall. I was like, at a certain point, I'm like, I don't know. Like, at this point of Burning Angel, after doing it for so long, I'm like, we either need like an investment of $20 million or we need to sell. You know what I mean? Because at a certain point, we were probably in that middle ground. We weren't a big studio and we weren't an amateur production. You know what I mean? Like, we were kind of somewhere in the middle, and I knew the middle people were going to just fall, and it's happening. People are, a lot of studios now, like in the past year, a bunch of studios have sold to the bigger conglomerates, Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. It's just kind of what's happening, I was grateful to sell my studio. I was grateful that I got an offer. And I was grateful. I mean, that's the goal of everybody who starts a business. You want to sell it one day, you know? And I'm very glad that the end of that story is with me selling the business and not the business going out of business, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
Which could have happened, you know? Who knows? And we weren't on a decline. Nobody would have bought the studio if we were on that big of a decline. But would that be happening now? I don't really know, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a very different era, you know? So girl, I think, you know, studio porn is in a weird time, but it still needs to exist for girls to have kind of a billboard for themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people that still really enjoy, you know, being on set, but I think porn is just, you know, like a lot of Instagram models have OnlyFans now, you know, like a lot
totally,
of
yeah, yeah.
But this kind of happened years ago with webcamming, you know, this is just sort of a new era of webcamming, like when the door opened up for like so many different amateurs entering. And, you know, like I said, I've always kind of been on the sidelines of everyone because I did very much become part of like the porn industry. But I got into the porn industry by starting my own website in my dorm room, you know? So like,
right.
Like I could not have been one of those girls in the industry if I had to enter, you know, I entered through a studio, but it was my own studio. So I don't know if I just went off on too much of a tangent, but
no, it's a fascinating time that we're in. It's really interesting to hear someone's perspective who like, you know, like you say that you have your foot in so many different pools within the industry, that it's really just interesting to hear your thoughts on it because it is a fascinating time for the world of porn. You know, it's really interesting to be on the outside looking at it and watching it evolve and watching it morph and shift as social
porn
media morphs
adapts.
Right?
It always does, and it adapts before everybody else does. Like I have like musician friends that ask me stuff about OnlyFans. I'm like, God, I've been on OnlyFans for years now. You're just like figuring this out. We're always the first on any like platform.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, speaking of, do you mind letting our listeners know how they can find you, how they can keep up with what it is that you're up to, and just a little reminder of Club 42 and where they can find it.
Everybody, follow me on Instagram. Hopefully by the time this comes out, I won't be removed from Instagram. Thank God I've never been removed. Whew, it's like my biggest fear.
Zuckerberg's coming.
No, he's not coming for me. I follow the rules, okay?
Okay.
I read the TOS.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Like the fucking Bible. And I follow them, okay? Follow me on Instagram. My name is Joanna Angel. It's a verified account, so do not follow a fake Joanna Angel who will ask you for money and say they want to meet up with you and suck your dick because it's not me, unfortunately. I don't want you to get murdered by somebody pretending to be me. on Twitter, my name is Joanna Angel also, and it's verified, so follow me on there. And subscribe to my OnlyFans. That's where all my new content is. And look at my... the movies I direct on Burning Angel and see my whole archive of films. Mm-hmm. But I will say when the sale happened, when the Burning Angel sale happened, I kept one thing that was not part of the purchase, whatever. And that was, I kept Repenetrator.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, full
circle. That's a special weird thing. It's actually not on Burning Angel. Anyway,
how is it possible to get a copy of it? Like, how do you get a copy of Repenetrator?
You can probably find a pirated copy somewhere.
Yeah, Sackville High School in Lower Sackville. You can probably find one.
I mean,
under the fucking bleachers.
It's a weird one. Yeah, it could. Yeah. You know, I honestly don't even know where you get a copy. I think I have like some copies stashed away in my garage.
Yeah.
Is it called classic?
It is, and like I cannot recommend it more. If folks are doing some like internet sleuthing, like see if you can find it because it's a fucking great time. Yeah. It really is. Again, Club 42. It is coming out in February. So fucking stoked to be able to talk to you, Joanna.
You.
This has just been so fun.
I agree.
Really fun. Thank you for having me. You guys are up in Canada now?
All the way up in East Coast, yeah, Atlantic coast of Canada.
That's so cold, awesome.
Cold,
yeah.
Cold.
I love Canada.
Yeah, me too.
You guys are on like super lockdown there, right?
It's not actually too bad at where we are. Things haven't been like as bad as they've been elsewhere.
You guys follow the rules.
Yeah,
we do.
We have very defiant people here. Yeah. So here we are again in the second lockdown because nobody listens to anyone.
That's it.
We don't want to follow the rules, but we do because we're nice.
Yeah, exactly. Canadians are very, very nice people. I've been to Canada before. Why I say you guys are so nice because I literally like almost got arrested in Canada. I've never had anybody be so nice to me while getting arrested. The cop was like apologizing to me. I'm like, I did something wrong.
That's hilarious.
So sorry.
The guy was like, I'm so sorry to ruin your vacation like this. I'm like, this is so weird. I don't even know what to say right now.
That is very that's probably the most Canadian thing I've heard all year. So
yeah.
I'm like, I'm breaking the law. It's
so funny. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. It was so sorry. This is like a mind fuck right now. Like, you're supposed to be mean to me right now. And I'm supposed to be fighting it, but now you're like apologizing to me. And I don't really know.
He could have been a fan. You know, you never know.
I think he's just a really nice Canadian.
I'm sure he just believed that you were disappointed enough in yourself that he didn't need to flog
deep
you.
Down inside.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so sorry for ruining your vacation. What is going on? Am I in the Twilight Zone? This doesn't make any sense. Anyway, whatever. So
come on up to Canada,
exactly,
folks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lots of room. Well, again, thank you so much, Joanna. This
thank
has been
you.
Really fun.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. And you stay safe up there. And have a happy holiday.
Yeah. You too.
You too.
Okay.
And there we go. That was our conversation with Joanna Angel. God, what a treat. What a flipping treat. And hey, that's all we got for this week. Feels good to be back. Hope you had a happy holiday. Hope you had a fun new year. And again, looking forward to 2021. Looking forward to the future. Looking forward to doing the work. You know, we're just doing the work.
You're jumping right in there.
But yeah, we love you all. We're so happy that you're still on this weird and fun and bizarre journey with us. And we'll be coming back at you every single Wednesday with new episodes. But in the meantime, you can send us an email. If you ever have a comment or something to say, you can email us at termionpodcast.com, termionpodcast@gmail.com. And hey, Bride, why don't you tell them about our Patreon?
Oh, yeah. Head on over to patreon.com/turnmeon where you can sign up at different tier levels. You can watch us record these intros. You can receive titillating writing about what I'm reading and up to and whatnot.
Titillating,
yeah. And you never know. There's some merchandise on there as well. And maybe even some like special events coming up in 2021 that you'll be privy to as a patron. So thanks so much to those who do subscribe. We appreciate you so much. This wouldn't be possible without you.
That is it for this week.
Until next week, lovingly fondle your labia and let us know if it affects your left ear.
Ah, there we go. All right, I like that.
That's going to be the new ending for 2021.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.